This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
They just got done nailing a stripper last Friday night at the bachelor party. I think it's one of those things where he's going to get caught. If he's a cheater,
right,
he's going to get caught, and she's going to get half. There's no downside for the girl, except that she's going to waste time in her life.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the groom's listening. Why not confront the groom instead of your friend? Like, go say, I know what you're doing. And
but then he's
you don't know Jack.
But he might turn on her also.
He will.
He'll end the thing, and then he'll turn on her. And she'll be out of the wedding party. I mean,
you cannot approach this in any fashion where anyone can deny or refute or do anything that could possibly make this. I get it. You want to protect your friend. You don't want her to do something bad with a cheater. But it's like
here's
anxiety.
Here's a 617 text that says, just write an op-ed for the New York
right.
Times.
Oh, yeah, anonymous. Yeah, that's great.
Right.
Just call yourself Mike Pence. I'm dropping
it.
A lodestar on you.
That's right.
A lodestar. I mean, where do you think deny came from?
Mm-hmm. I wish we knew what the evidence was.
Yeah.
You know? Because that would help me.
We can ask for we can ask for clarification.
Okay.
Let's see.
Person's cheating, like one person's breakfast is another person's brunch. One person's cheating is another person's hall pass / involvement with. I mean, you don't.
That's
maybe
true.
There's something else going on.
Pre-wedding,
right?
You're like, okay, this is your last chance.
Right, go do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't like sex, and she gave him. They have an arrangement.
Here's a text.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that it is from her,
mm-hmm.
which says, one of my boyfriend's friends saw him making out with another girl at a restaurant in New Hampshire.
That's not going to fly. That's not going to fly. Keep your mouth shut.
No. Dude's hammered, sloughing, and spit with a hot waitress before he's getting married. Don't even sweat the sweat.
What do you mean?
Don't get involved now.
Unless his bud walked into the motel room and saw him buck naked with the chick.
Yeah, no. Nope. Bail. Cancel. Delete. Don't do it.
That's a classic. Oh, you're getting married this weekend? Well, let me give you something to think about.
Right.
You know, and she moves in and does it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he didn't instigate it. Maybe it was, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe
it
wasn't
making
even
out
him.
At a bar, that's a lot less.
This is a text from a woman. I would be pissed if my friend knew that my fiance was cheating and didn't tell me about it.
Right.
So she stands to, if she doesn't say anything and the bride finds out that she knew, she could be in peril also.
Too many degrees of separation. There's a very low likelihood that the bride will find out that you knew.
No, but I got to tell you, this hits close to home. I was at Casey's. One of your ex-girlfriends was
okay, hold on. Stop right there. I don't want any of this going over the air.
Is that bad?
Okay,
buddy.
Chew gave you the DEFCON 5 on that one.
Yeah,
stop.
Shutting your mic off. We're done here.
Jesus.
Everything's finished. Thanks for listening.
Here's Eric.
It doesn't have anything to do with you.
I'm worried about her.
Good morning. How are you guys? Hold on.
What's up, Aaron?
Hey, I just want to say I got to agree with Danielle 100%. This is like Supreme Court level. But if that's your good friends and girls can have some really good intimate relationships, you need to buck up, tell her. And even if it costs you your relationship, because in the long haul, you'll end up being friends again, but you'll spare her a lot of pain.
Here's a text that says, can we talk about how the text said one of my boyfriend's friends?
Yeah.
What do they mean, though? What does this person mean when they're saying, can we talk about that?
I don't know.
Are they saying
maybe it's because it's so far from her, like she didn't see it herself, and like,
or maybe because the boyfriend's friend shouldn't be narking out the guy that he saw.
I don't think he intentionally. It probably wasn't a case where he, you know, intentionally was like, oh, I saw Phil the other night at the Applebee's and he was with some chick. He probably was like, oh, dude, I saw this happen. And then someone, it's a game of telephone. That's why you don't even know if it's the same original story that the boyfriend's friend saw.
Yeah. Here's a text that says hearsay is inadmissible.
Yeah.
Hearsay.
Yes. It's true.
The boyfriend's friend wants to hook up with the bride. That's what this is. And he's sabotaging the wedding.
Well, all right.
Mind your beeswax.
Well, that's what
I don't know.
So we if you're just joining us, it is 8:04 here at WAAF FM and HD1 Westboro Boston, WEEI HD2 Lawrence, and WWBX HD2 Boston, and we are in the middle of Nancy Know-It-All this week, and Nancy was asked by a bridesmaid who believes that she has uncovered definitive proof that the soon-to-be groom is cheating, whether or not she should inform the bride before the wedding, which is on Saturday. I would offer up this helpful hand. Should the wedding not proceed, I would be happy to go there and eat many of the meals and the appetizers and things. So that's not a complete loss.
Right,
so
that's a waste of food.
Steak or chicken, Hillbuck.
Yes.
I like the stuffed chicken if it has the proper supreme sauce on it.
Yes.
Like, I like the wedding chicken with the stuffing, and it has to have a gravy, golden gravy on it. Hello, Frankie.
Hey, quick thing here. What if the boyfriend's friend has a thing for the bride and trying to sabotage the wedding?
Yeah, that's where she was going.
You okay?
Here's a 508 text that says, I'm getting married this weekend and you're making me nervous.
Uh-oh.
The poor woman. Uh-oh. I don't think it's your guy. I'm sure he's
I'm sure he's great. Sure that's going to work out.
Hello, Brian.
Hey,
what's up, Brian?
Hey, before I get to the story, LB, you sure you didn't mean to start that story off at one night at KFC's? So the explanation on that text, how can this girl judge on cheating when her text starts off one of her boyfriends? How many boyfriends does this
friends.
One of her boyfriend's friends. She said one of her boyfriend's friends.
Not the friend of one of her boyfriends.
Right, so I'm wondering.
It's apostrophe S.
I'm wondering if the boyfriend's friend saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then told the boyfriend, and the boyfriend violated a rule that is sacrosanct, and told told his girlfriend about it to try to curry favor with her or something like that. There's nobody worse than that guy. That's like the guy when everybody goes on the trip, and then he comes back and gives the full detailed report on what happened on the bro trip.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Come on.
And this, hold on a second. This is Ed on the Framingham Ford studio line. Framingham Ford is Metro West commercial truck headquarters. They're right on Route 9. Go say hi to my buddy Arthur over there. He'll give you the best deal ever. What's up, Ed?
All right. I think it's a setup because in this day and age, everybody's got a camera, and you know people like to take pictures.
If I see something like that, I'm not automatically pulling out as the boyfriend's friend, there's so many degrees of separation that, you know, if she saw it, she'd probably pull her phone out because that's her friend's fiance. But, you know, some random guy isn't going to be like, oh, I'm going to take video of this and then see it.
My buddy.
Right. No.
Here's a text that says it's not definitive proof unless she has seen it herself.
I agree 100%.
Secondhand information is not credible.
This is thirdhand information.
Even that, swamp and spit isn't even cheating.
Yeah,
come
I kind
on.
Of agree. They're God. Just making
You know, you have a couple extra cocktails and some chicks flirting with you.
Mm-hmm. This is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Grant.
What's up, Joe? Oh, I think we lost Joe. Joe, you could call
back. That was him.
Yeah, Joe was spotted making out with another woman at the local coffee shop.
All right. It is 808. Here's a text that says, this happened to me this weekend. I was going to propose to my girlfriend, and her friend came clean and showed me her fake Instagram of photos of them together in bed and going on dates.
Oh, why would you do that?
And it's,
sorry, that's terrible.
I mean,
you dodged a bullet, though, guy.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's somebody who says, I hate to break it to people. I'm a woman, but I have heard countless stories of men cheating up until the wedding as their last hurrah.
Yes, it happens. As LB has always said, it has happened since the beginning of time.
It has.
And marriage. Yes.
Serious.
You know how many dudes come back from a bachelor party in Vegas and run to their doctor to get tested for an STD before the wedding? Because
exactly.
They forgot to wrap
exactly.
it up.
Oh my As Lord. You're crushing up medicine, putting it
Please.
In your wife's
right?
or your future wife's yeah. orange juice.
Don't
breakfast.
Worry about the penicillin, honey. It's fine.
All right. Well, your advice is not to say anything, right, Nancy?
Unless okay. you saw this, I would not go down that road.
All right. It's 810, and this is WAAF-FM and HD1, Westboro, Boston, WEEI, HD2, Lawrence, and WWBX, HD2 here in Boston.
And now, it's your turn to talk as the Hillman Morning Show presents Hill Mail.
So I heard LB say that Lorna Monday's mutt is a licker. Better keep an eye on him or he might try to drink her.
On WAAF.
I love that.
What a cute dog, man.
Yeah, Lorna was a really cute dog. I hope she gets adopted. Mm-hmm. I got Lorna. It was an Instagram story, so it's probably gone. But there's a Monday's Mutt Instagram where you can check out Lorna.
At Monday's Mutt.
Yeah. All right. Here for you now are the very best Hillmail voicemail messages that you have left for us over the previous 24 hours.
Monday, 8:33 a.m.
So let me get this straight. LB goes to a golf tournament, comes back with a black eye. I'm guessing that the reason why is the guy probably tried to bite his finger off, but his fingers are so damn fat that he couldn't, so the guy got frustrated and punched him in the eye. Have a great day, kid.
End of message.
I wish it was a better story.
There's more holes in that story than there are in the hunk of Swiss cheese I ate last night. But whatever.
Don't overthink it. Kid.
Don't overthink it.
I'm being straight.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw Ken Casey last night at the charity event.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I asked him if he had any information on your slip and fall, and he didn't know anything
about
it.
Well, he was on the course.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't know.
He didn't know anything about
it. I just feel bad for my foursome.
Monday, 3:23 p.m.
By day, I run multiple car dealerships and collect classic automobiles. By night, I host Gray Hill Foundation events and fight crime. I am Walkman.
End of message.
Well, I said yesterday, somebody was asking if Ernie was like, they thought Ernie was kind of like Hugh Hefner. Mm. And I was saying that Ernie is kind of like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But he's been a longtime benefactor for us on this show. He supported us for decades. And I'm so thankful to him for opening up his amazing car collection for wine, watches, and wheels coming up next month. And I'm grateful to all of you who immediately sold that event out.
Yeah.
We had a limited amount of tickets available, but a considerable amount. Mm-hmm. And that thing sold out by 4 p.m. or something on Friday.
Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing you. We'll have amazing food from Ernie's personal chef, the very best wine, the very best champagne. Mm. And somebody is going to walk away with a brand new Rolex.
Fantastic.
I don't know. It's October. For you, it's December 10th. It's October 10th.
Okay.
But I don't know how much access, like, I don't know if you'll be able to, like, sit in the cars and get your handprints all over the cars.
There'll be the velvet ropes around each vehicle.
Yeah, right.
I think you'll be able to get close. But
yeah.
Ernie's
not
pretty.
In.
Ernie loves to tell the stories of the cars,
yes.
And he knows so much. So to me, that'll
pretty
be
cool.
the most interesting part of it is hearing all these stories about these amazing vehicles.
Monday, 11:33 a.m.
course, after he lights the poppy field on fire, Buddy dies. Low ball too.
End of message.
Oh, imagine if Joe... That's a great concept. Imagine if Joe... You know, Marty, you were earlier today we were talking about cheating. You know, Marty Bird got caught cheating because someone was wearing a wire.
Oh, no.
And they heard everything that was going on at the Blue Cat Lounge. That's a sinker, and it's low and inside. Yes, if Joe were giving out spoiler alerts during the broadcast, that would be
awesome.
Great, wouldn't it?
That's amazing.
I mean, if you ask me, taking a walk with your wife in the morning is normally a great experience, but not if your last name is Schnell. That's ball three.
He caught that like they caught Wilkes sucking up his campaign fund.
Monday, 3:45 p.m.
So Jeremy Hill was put on injured reserve today. Wonder if there's a relation. Thanks, Greg. First game of the year, already. Hillman jinx, full effect.
End of message. Oh.
That's too bad, though. Done for the year.
And, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Done for the year, I think. I thought I saw that last night. He's done for the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
5:35 a.m.
You know, it seems to me that 90% of the conversations that LB gets involved with end up with rubbing one out. I'm surprised you have one left.
End of message.
especially with all those calluses.
Oh, please.
5:49 a.m.
Geez, if I was walking into work and saw a rat that big, I wouldn't worry about it going for the jugular. I'd worry about it going for the junkular.
End of message.
I encountered a gigantic Brighton rat this morning walking through the courtyard here at 20 Guest Street.
Did you drop your pre-cut melon and scream like a woman?
I did shriek. I did shriek a little bit.
6:11 a.m.
Yeah, a shirt that makes your boobs look bigger? That's fantastic. But Lindy, don't worry. You can save your money. You don't need that shirt at all.
End of
message.
Don't.
I do not.
There's a new shirt in which they have utilized science and the shadows that are basically a part of the design of the shirt to make your boobs look way bigger than they are.
Yes.
So a lot of women apparently are buying these t-shirts. They're a white t-shirt or something with kind of shadows that are created into it. And so if you got a couple mosquito bites and you're looking at trying to have bigger boobs, this is one way you can do it without spending big money on getting a transplant or whatever they call it.
Implant.
Yes.
6:54 a.m.
Hey, did LB say he couldn't play for Bill Belichick, kid? Hey, kid, you couldn't even play for Mike Milbury.
End of message.
But I did.
But he did. But he did. All right, that's going to do it on Hillmill voicemail messages. It is 8:17, and today's weather is brought to you by Nissan Intelligent Mobility. It's going to rain for most of the day today, and the temperature is going to get up to 75. Nissan Intelligent Mobility is loaded with tech that is changing the way you deal with the worst weather conditions. With lane-changing sensors and early warning collision alerts, these are just some of the Nissan Intelligent Mobility features available to everyone right now. Visit NissanUSA.com to learn more. This is Rick. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
I know I should be used to it, but it still cracks me up that LB is so surprised about relevant sports news, and he's the sportscaster on the show.
No, I didn't want to interrupt Hillman. I misheard. I thought the guy said Julia Hill.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh my God, she blew her knee out.
Oh,
and she's out for the season in St. Lawrence. So I was like,
no, Julia Hill is A-okay.
Yes,
kids.
Another day in Florida.
And now, another edition of Florida. Not like the rest of us.
Just remember not to go out into actual Florida. You don't want to meet those people.
All right. Where are we going in our favorite state?
Miami.
Today? Okay.
Miami. Remember, I want to say about a month ago, there was a guy in New York who stole an ambulance because it was too hot to walk.
Yes.
This gentleman stole an ambulance after being released from the hospital because he didn't have a ride home. His name is Michael Paul, and he didn't have a car. Now, oftentimes, the EMTs or paramedics will leave the engines running in the ambulance to keep, the interior cooled down for the next patient, depending on where they're going, if they're transporting to or from. So this guy decided he saw an available ambulance out front, hopped in, took off with it. Joy Oglesby is with the Broward Sheriff's Office.
There was a GPS on the ambulance, and so deputies were quickly able to enable the GPS and track down the suspect, who they took into custody within 30 minutes of the theft. The suspect said that he just needed a car, because they need the AC going, they need the emergency lights on. So at this situation, it's no fault of their own.
What? Who doesn't want to throw the lights on, though, with the siren? Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are on the pike outside the studio right now who wish they had a siren and some lights.
I have a memorial obscure reference.
Oh.
The late, great Burt Reynolds and the late Dom DeLuise used an ambulance in Cannonball Run.
Yes.
To get across the country, because one would pull over an ambulance with the lights on speeding, right?
And didn't they have the goofy doctor?
They had the weird doctor and Farrah Fawcett in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice. I read the other day that Burt Reynolds' neighbor basically bought him the house that he lived in Jupiter, Florida.
Really? Mm-hmm.
And charged him hardly any rent. Because Burt Reynolds, he was basically bankrupt throughout his whole life. And so this guy is a big wealthy real estate guy down in Florida, and he basically took care of Burt Reynolds so that Burt Reynolds could still live in the custom that he had or the type of place that he had become accustomed to.
He last year he put all of that amazing memorabilia up for auction, all the satin movie jackets for Hooper and Run, the hats he wore in the movies, you know, all the props, stuff like that he had, just to raise money for himself.
One of the best scenes ever, when he backs a horse up into the car, and the horse takes a dump on the guy. Hooper.
I'm getting a lot of pressure, which I may not be able to resist, to share the full beer pong table on my Instagram. I might do it. I know. I just
people
set myself,
be nice.
I just set myself up. Well, no, that's okay. Listen, if I can dish it out, I gotta be able to take it. But
it's your daughter.
I know, but I
just want people to be respectful.
Maybe I will share it on my Instagram. If you're not following me on Instagram, then you don't know what you're missing. Lots of food pictures is what you're missing.
Basically,
Greg Hill 107 to give me the follow on IG, and I just shared the amazing. I mean, this is what college essentially is that rather than spend hours upon hours on some kind of a doctoral or a thesis or something, you are painting the most epic beer pong table of all time.
It's but the beginning prepares, of the semester, guy.
That prepares you for things later on in life.
Right.
If you have some project
it's
at work.
It's a project management thing.
Yeah. All right. What else? Anything else in the news today, Danielle?
Did you see this crazy kidnapping attempt at Faneuil Hall?
Yes. No. So disturbing.
What a weird thing.
These parents were at Faneuil Hall. Can you still call it that?
For now.
And they had their 13-year-old daughter, and this dude came up with a giant roll of money.
Mm-hmm.
And said, "Can I buy your daughter?"
Yeah. And then tried to snatch her, tried to drag her away from her parents. He's 27. He's been identified as Alfred Patterson of Raymond, New Hampshire. he fled on foot after the interaction with the parents, but the girl's father was able to stop him. We can hear from a friend of the victim's mother.
She was so upset. It's a scary experience. I mean, thank God they're safe. They went through such a traumatic time. So they were actually at a firefighter stand looking at some sweatshirts and stuff like that, and They were approached by somebody offering a large wad of money.
That's crazy.
Bag of cash.
Bag of cash.
As it said, bag of cash.
That's, no, you can't have my kid.
That seriously.
That is disturbing.
I have an obscure reference on this.
Yes.
How much for the little girl? Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
What is wrong with people? I mean,
it's
disgusting. This is Mike on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
What's up?
Awesome.
I just wanted to comment on the late, great Burt Reynolds. I'm in Jupiter, Florida right now. I saw a picture from the other day. I guess there was a whole bunch of black Trans Ams driving in like a convoy, basically. And I was told that he's going to be buried in one of them.
What?
What?
Oh, really?
That'd be so epic.
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's actually true, but it makes sense, I guess. You know, of course the bandit would want to be buried in a Trans Am. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. All right. Interesting. Anybody famous ever been buried in a car before? I don't think so. I mean,
any drivers, race car drivers, anything like that?
Yeah, you would think that Dick Trickle or somebody would have been.
He just likes saying his name.
I hope he's passed.
He's a
honor,
good man. Yes,
that's
passed.
A complete. Oh, yes, because that's a complete jinx scenario right there. All right. It is 8:28, and coming up, of course, it is September 11th today, and we will remember the events that occurred 17 years ago today and the way that they unfolded on this show coming up next. Emergency transmission from Canton, New York. Oh. I've removed that photo from my Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hopefully you saw it before. What are you arguing with somebody on Twitter about? I mean, on text line about over here. Maybe on Twitter too. Why?
Because I had said when you were going to put the photo up of the beer pong table that your lovely daughter Julia had just finished crafting.
The Irbe Ong Pei Able Tay?
S-Y.
Yes.
I had said, be nice, be respectful, because I don't like when people say rude or inappropriate things referring to Julia. And then a couple people texted in and said, oh, yeah, sure. That's nice, but you guys play Father Knows Best.
Oh, for crying out loud. There's one douche nozzle who doesn't get that when we play Father Knows Best, the women who play it.
Yeah.
Voluntarily submit to it, right. And they seem to enjoy it.
And they know what the content is going to be for the segment.
What a ass hat. Enough with that, you buffoon.
Mm-hmm. That's hypocrisy. No?
No, it's not hypocrisy, you dick. If Julia Hill wanted to play Father Knows Best on the show, she certainly would be allowed to. I would have no problem with that.
I don't think I would allow that to happen because it would make me uncomfortable.
If that is something that she wanted to do,
right,
then she could certainly do it.
Thank you, Hilldog, for the 177th explanation.
Yes, yes. This is Dan on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, what's up, Craig?
What's up?
Hello.
I got an obscure reference on Burt Reynolds being buried in the Trans Am.
Yes.
Willie the Wimp. Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Yes. Willie the Wimp was a famous gangster.
Okay.
And I believe if I remember correctly, he was a Chicago mob guy like during the Al Capone time. And I believe he had his son buried in a Cadillac. And I do believe, I think this song is only, I have the live version. I think it's only available live, Willie the Wimp, from Stevie Ray.
Thank you so kindly, ladies and gentlemen.
Great tune, though. Great tune. You haven't heard it.
As you may well know, this is a song written by a very good friend of ours from Austin, Texas. A guy by the name of Bill Carter. And don't forget Ruth. As the story goes, Bill and Ruth was eating breakfast one morning. They looked down at the front page of the newspaper. And lo and behold, there's this big picture of this guy all dressed up in a red suit, a red hat, diamonds on every finger, $100 bills rolled up between all his fingers. And this fool's trying to drive to heaven in a coffin. I think he's flat. He's definitely sinking, you know. But anyway, because of that morning about this time, we must once again say hello and goodbye. Definitely goodbye to Willie.
Is there anybody better than Stevie Ray Vaughan? That's an ear cricket. I'm officially calling those ear crickets now. And you know why. I won't say why, but that's what I'm calling them. They were originally ear moss, then they were ear roaches. And now, thanks to a certain not to be mentioned television program, they will be called ear crickets. This is Dial. Hello. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Greg. Guile Morris. I've met you a couple of times, and Willie the Wimp, his son, was killed.
Yes.
And they buried him in a casket that looked like a Cadillac.
Yes.
The interesting thing is, I met you at Capitol Grill a couple of times.
Yes.
My son re-recorded that album, the Tyler Morris Band. And he did that song. It charted number 10 on Sirius Radio in February of this year.
Really? What's that? What's the name of the band?
It's the Tyler Morris Band, and they did Willie the Wimp with Joe Louis Walker singing. And In February, it charted number 10 on Sirius Radio, and the album was number 1 for radio play in the blues jazz genre.
Wow, that's pretty awesome, man. Right, that's pretty cool. Thank you for sharing that. Fake news that I'm at the Capitol Grill a lot. Place is ridiculously expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when was the last time you paid for a meal at the Cap Grill, guy? Get out of there.
I'm just kidding. I know Chris Scott is probably listening. I love the Capitol Grill.
LB, we need to go see our buddy.
Whatever you want. I'll take you any day.
On a serious note, it's 8:44, and today is September 11th. And we were discussing earlier, 17 years ago today, what happened in our country. And we have a tradition on this show of remembering that day and remembering it in the way in which it unfolded on this show. I don't know that in my close to 30 years of hosting this same show, there has ever been a day like this. As we began to realize what was going on in New York and in Washington, D.C., and eventually in Pennsylvania, we stayed on the air for the whole entire day. We eliminated throughout the rest of the day parts here at the station music, and we also... and I give a lot of credit to our company for this. We also went commercial free, and simply allowed you the opportunity to talk about what you were feeling on that absolutely horrible day. So, we put this together, I think, the year after, and it is, a way to remember what happened on this radio show on September 11th, 2001.
September 11th, 2001, on the Hillman Morning Show.
We are dealing with some breaking news.
Yes.
Kevin has just come running in here to report some breaking news to me.
Yes, a plane just crashed into the World Trade Center.
Into the World Trade Center?
Yes, not the Boston World Trade Center.
Oh, the New York World Trade Center. What is going on in New York City right now? If you're driving in your car, you do not know what's going on, but two separate planes have both crashed directly into the World Trade Center in New York City. You'll see it. You will see it a million times. It is live footage of a plane slamming into the World Trade Center. You don't know what happened until you find out, but I cannot believe that that is not a terrorist.
I'm going especially with the passenger jet. That we watched it live. It swung right straight in there.
Yeah. Do you think somebody hijacked the planes?
Most definitely.
Yeah, I just get off the phone with my wife. I'm out here at work. She was telling me about this bomb.
Yep.
They're saying that it was the deliberate attack. That's what they're saying on the news right now.
It is the most amazing footage. There is a giant building, the World Trade Center, and there is a gigantic, now there's two gigantic holes in the middle of the building. I have never in my life seen anything like it.
Guaranteed the F-15s have scrambled out of Langley or wherever else, and there is absolutely no air traffic right now over New York. You've got a lot of planes in here. You've got to land. There's nothing you're going to be able to do to stop them all.
But the question is then, what do you do? Do you start shooting down jetliners as soon as they get close to a building?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing, you know. But I don't know. I mean, this is I couldn't believe it. I heard it. I'm at work, so I haven't been able to see the footage. But I did call my wife, and she's just like, you know, she couldn't believe what she was seeing.
They just reported that one of the planes, the first plane, I believe, was American Airlines 767 from Boston.
Yeah, Ralph from Brookline, you're on the Hillman Morning Show at WAAF.
I just heard that they think that one of the planes was hijacked, and it was hijacked from Boston.
That is horrible news for people here in Boston.
And this would be obvious, of course, but they just reported that all New York airports were closed within the second crash, which happened within 8 minutes of the first one.
They do not have enough fire trucks to get to all the fires, and one of the fire battalion chiefs was asking for military assistance to try to catch up with the amount of fire that they have.
That's unbelievable.
And they were talking about, they have crews going up to the floor right now. You could hear them talking about it. They said they have a 2.5-hour walk to get to where the fire is.
All of lower Manhattan is just standing in the streets on this sunny morning looking at this unrealistic sight in front of us, this gray smoke coming out of the Trade Center.
Now we can check in with our buddy Mike Hsu, who I think is enjoying his vacation, or was enjoying his vacation. Hsu.
Greg, yeah, I don't know what to say, man. I was just watching it on television, and it seems unreal. And
I think that's the main thing, is how unreal it is.
Yeah.
That you look out on the television, or if you're in New York, you look out your window, or if you're in Washington, D.C., you look out your front door, and you realize that the United States is being attacked.
Basically, the Red Cross is and will be helping to support the New York area with blood needs during this crisis. We will be shipping what we can from here, and we're also going to be shipping blood from other regions across the country as well. We're using the military to get it there fast. Because there are so many injured, we'll be needing blood during the upcoming days and weeks. Now, please, if you're a donor trying to get through to our 1-800-GIVE-LIFE number, please continue to try. We know the lines are busy. People are calling constantly. You don't need to come in today. Just try to come in over the next several days and weeks.
What a horrible thing, huh?
I know. God almighty. It's hard to describe. Both times, I was just having to be watching the TV when the second plane went in. I thought it was one of those computer graphics that were going to explain what happened, and it was a real, you know, it was the other explosion. And then it just happened to be going back towards the TV when they collapsed. It's just, I don't know. Shocking and tragic and all those things. State offices have been shut down. They have evacuations over at the Hancock. The Prudential Center, that has been evacuated. The folks are just going to head home here. Also, the Financial District, they've shut down a lot of buildings over there as well.
Hi. Sorry about the way I'm talking, but I have a lot of family in New York, a lot that live in Manhattan, and several that work in the building.
Several that work in that building.
The Bolt building.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to ask the listeners to pray for them.
with regard to the situation in New York City. You're hearing a report that at least there were 150 people on those two planes crashing into the World Trade Center. I would imagine that is just the beginning as far as casualties go, and there's no way that they can update that at this point.
CNN is monitoring a video phone message coming out of Kabul, Afghanistan. I'm going to try and say this guy's name, but Wakil Ahmed Matawakil, I believe is how it's spelled. And the part that we were able to get here he said it's a tragedy and we didn't do it.
That's shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking, like everyone's not going to come out of the woodwork claiming they had nothing to do with it.
It doesn't explain away the people dancing on the street and celebrating.
He's the Taliban foreign minister of Afghanistan. Okay.
I'm 42 years old, and for the first time in my life, I'm kind of scared. Because you never thought that something like this would happen. And you look over your shoulder, and you're thinking, what could happen next? We're the best country in the world, and because we are the best country in the world, we're a target, and our freedom becomes exploited. And you don't, now, more than ever, it's like you just don't know.
Yeah, actually, I just got off the phone with my girlfriend, and she works at the TJX companies in Framingham.
Yeah.
You're familiar with that? I guess seven of their people were on that flight.
Seven of their people were on that flight.
Yep.
Well, that is the way that the day unfolded on this show, and obviously, it's. I think when you hear it, it's still raw, I think.
Very much so.
It brings you right back to where you were on this day 17 years ago.
You think of the uncertainty and like how fast the information was coming in, and you couldn't even process the first plane hitting the first tower, and you're still trying to figure out what happened there, and then the next, and the next, and then the next, and it's just like, when does it stop?
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching the news coverage on TV, and this just gives you the element of 17 right. years ago, driving to CVS to buy VHS tapes to record what was happening on the news, because I was like, this is something like huge that's happening. We don't know. We just didn't know. And then as the day went on, to see everything that happened, and it's just, there are no words.
Several interesting comments, which happens every time we replay that piece of audio. Number one, many believe that I sounded way less fat 17 years ago in that audio.
We were all less fat. not me.
Several texters say LB has clearly lost an awful lot of brain cells since that moment that you sounded more intelligent, more with it, as they say, in
yes.
that.
Yes,
but,
I have brain disease.
But yeah, I mean, it really... I think a moment that those of us who lived through it will never forget it. And I always think immediately of the heroism of the firefighters and the police officers in New York City who went into that building and didn't come out and
EMS
did it
crews.
And did it without question. That's that's why I get frustrated when people don't acknowledge the sheer bravery of those who go to work every day, wondering if that type of thing is going to happen, if that's going to be their last day on planet Earth. So this is Bill on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's up, Bill?
Hey, morning, guys.
What's up?
I just really want to thank you guys for playing that. That was chilling, but... That was really good for you guys to play. I wasn't very old when it happened, but I do remember. You know, we were coming home from on the bus, and they sent us home from school, and a lot of kids were going home, not knowing what was going on. So a lot of empty houses back then. You know, like
how old were you, Bill?
I was 11.
11.
Yeah. I was 11 when it happened, and we were being told, you know, how it comes down to the older kids. We were being told that they were coming after us, you know what I mean? Like, we were going home like that, you know? And I just want to thank you guys for playing that.
Okay. All right. I think it's important to remember. This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Craig?
What's up, Mike?
You know, I live in Lowell, and I remember that because in Lowell, we have a real diverse community of different ethnic groups. And it was real commonplace back then for the people who were from different countries to ride around in their cars with the country of origin of their flag draped across the front of their hood.
Yes.
And after 9/11, they replaced those flags with American flags.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, everyone was an American. It didn't matter where you were from, or even if you didn't even live in America, the whole world seemed to galvanize that the whole world was an American at that point in time. And it's a sad commentary to see how close we became, to see how far apart we've gotten.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
Well, yeah. Danielle said earlier, if that happened today, it would just be a mess and even more divisive. But I disagree, because it's what Americans do best. Mm. When it really comes down to it, Americans will put all the differences aside and get together for one common cause. And I think that still happens. We're divided now because, fortunately, there's nothing like that going on. But I think if something like that happens, Americans know, okay, well, this is what matters the most. And it really is the best thing we do.
We are all coming together and trying to arrest those who are using plastic straws. So I disagree.
See?
So I disagree with you. We are demanding larger size servings in our restaurants. We are all coming together for that purpose. But I think you're right, Shu. I think that the country does, in moments like that, whether it was as mentioned earlier on the show, after Pearl Harbor or World War, during World War II,
mm-hmm.
The country did indeed come together. The question is, how long does it stay together? Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Jay?
On that morning, I was a limo driver out of Chelmsford, and I dropped off two businessmen that were on that first plane that crashed into the World Trade Center.
Oh.
And I still have my work ticket, you know, I'm saying the people I picked up, and I dropped them off. And I'll never forget getting back to the shop, not knowing what happened, switching vehicles, and the phone was ringing off the hooks. And I was like, what is going on? She's like, did you hear what happened? I was like, no, what? And she's like, two planes just crashed into the World Trade Center towers in New York.
Yeah.
Even talking about now, I still get the chills.
Well, a texter says it was so eerie living in Southie and not hearing planes for several days.
Yeah. Right.
And you might not, if you were not of a certain age at that point, you might not know that, but there was no air traffic for days.
I worked at the airport at that time, so weird to go into work and just like all the terminals were shut down.
Yeah.
And it was just like people were just there.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to try and get through this, but God bless to the Sweeney, Bailey, and Bavis families who are having the toughest day of their life today. Your families are amazing. To Amy, to Ace, and to Mark, they're angels looking over you.
I'll be very, very emotional, and like a lot of people, I'm sure that it does.
Thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people have been affected by this barbarian
act. Absolutely.
I just want to say my piece.
All right. Well, that
you
this...
know, I used to skate, you know, with the Bavis kids and Michael and Mark and at BU, and he is an incredible human being. Ace Bailey was a great friend and an amazing Bruin, and his family is incredible. And Swoop Sweeney, I love you, man.
Yes.
So,
All right. Well, I think we'll keep your chins up.
Yeah. Keep your chins up.
Keep your chins up.
Keep digging.
And we will take a break, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.